Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus told a story about a man who had a lot, but wanted a lot more. It was this man who said, "Eat, drink, and be merry." This parable of Jesus is chilling. That night, the man's life was demanded of him. If there's one thing you want to get right, it's where you will spend eternity. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn to Luke chapter 12 for a lesson on getting eternity right.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, for knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. So said Michael Douglas in a movie. There's an alternate view. Watch out, beware, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus Christ. So who are we going to go with in life today, Michael Douglas or Jesus? There's no doubt that our society has chosen to go with Michael Douglas. Greed is good. It's the one sin that you can commit that you'll never be disciplined for. Almost no one will point it out in your life. We may know when we have crossed the line in moral issues, in honest or dishonest issues, but there's something about greed that seems so right. The problem is that Jesus made it very clear that greed leads to problems, and we know the problems that greed leads to, don't we? For example, greed leads us to debt. So people go into debt because of greed. Years ago, Christians used to have to pray, "Lord, I need a car, give me one." Maybe somebody would lend them one. Maybe they'd have enough money for one, but today you don't. All that you need to do is to have some kind of credit, and you can go there and you can buy that vehicle, and you don't even have to pray about it. And so greed, I should say, leads us to debt. There's another problem with greed, and that is it leads to dishonesty. You think, for example, of how many people have been dishonest in business and in their dealings, always wanting more, always justifying it within their mind, because greed is really the thirst for more. And then if that isn't enough, greed is also very deceptive. You've heard me say many times that money makes the same promises that God does. It says that I will be with you, I'll be there for you. The problem is that money cannot buy happiness, because there are many miserable people who are wealthy, and in the end, when it's time to die, all the money in the world and all the things that you accumulated will not help you. With that introduction, I want you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, and I hope that all of you do bring your Bibles to church. If not, there is one probably in the seat in front of you, page 871, page 871, where Jesus again interacts with people. And the Bible says here very clearly that Jesus was interacting and teaching. And it says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said, "Man, who made a judge or arbitrator over you? Who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Wow. Jesus was so unpredictable, wasn't he? You know, somebody comes to him, and rabbis used to always settle disputes like this. Somebody comes to him and says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." If he was an elder brother, as he probably was, according to the law of Levitical inheritance, the elder should receive 2/3, the younger 1/3. But you and I know all about those disputes, don't we? In my short life, I've heard so many different stories of people who have had conflict within the family. The family gets through the funeral, and then afterwards the arguments begin. One child tries to chisel the other out of his inheritance, or it can go very differently. Maybe the person who was in charge of the estate, the arbiter, maybe the person who has power of attorney, wants to hog all the money and not share it with the others for whom it was intended. And families have been divided, and sometimes permanently divided. We'd expect Jesus to take a side on this issue and say, yeah, it's only right that your brother divide the inheritance with you. And under certain circumstances, that would have been good advice. But Jesus doesn't do that. He leaves behind the issue of the conflict, and what he does is, and it's just like Jesus, he gets to the heart of the matter and he begins to talk about greed and covetousness. You know, greed has two different cousins. The first is covetousness. And you think of all the problems that people have gotten into because of it. Eve sinned greatly because she coveted the idea of being like God. David got into deep water and had to pay a tremendous price for his immorality when he coveted another man's wife. And of course, Satan himself, that was the first sin. He said, I will be like God. And so he coveted God's position in the universe. And look at what happened to that. Covetousness. Another cousin of greed is envy. Envy is when I'm angry with somebody who has money because I don't want them to have it. And we despise those who have been blessed more than we have. You know, there's an old story about an angel coming to a man and saying, anything that you ask for can be yours, but your ex-wife is going to get double. You ask for a new car, she is going to be getting two of them. You ask for $1 million, she is going to get 2 million. So he thought for a while and said, what I want you to do is to make me blind in one eye. In another version of the same story, I heard that the man said, I want to be half dead. We resent the fact that other people are being blessed. And so all of these sins coil as a serpent in our heart, deeply justified. We live with denial. We have layers and layers of rationalization. So Jesus just avoids the whole issue of the conflict, and he goes directly to the issue at hand, and that is a covetous, greedy spirit. So this is what he says. He told them a parable. This happens to be the last in a series of 10 messages on the parables, how the parables help us get it right the first time, because we can't redo life. It's not that we've covered all the parables by any means, but these are the ones that I have chosen to expound on. So verse 16, he tells them a parable. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then Jesus adds, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Years ago, and I'm not sure exactly where, I found an outline on this text, which I am going to adapt for my own purposes. As we look at it, I want us to notice three huge mistakes that this man made. And then let's ask ourselves if we might be making the very same mistakes. The first mistake that he made is that he mistook his body for his soul. He mistook his body for his soul. There he is saying to himself that, look at my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, the Greek word is psyche, thou hast met much goods laid up for many years. No. His body had ample goods laid up for many years, but his soul was being starved. There was no attention being paid to his soul. And come with me to Wall Street. How much attention is being given to the people's souls? Come with me to LaSalle Street. People pay attention to their body, but they neglect their souls. Go to the health clubs. Yesterday at about 8 o'clock in the morning, I was walking toward Lake Michigan, and I was surprised at the hundreds of runners that I encountered on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. My first thought was, get a life. What are you doing on a Saturday morning running like this? Well, you know, you're laughing, but have you ever seen a runner smile, for heaven's sake? I don't think so. And so you have all of these people prepping their bodies, making sure that they are healthy, and then they add to that health foods. And they are more concerned as to whether or not potatoes have toxins than they do their own soul. And that may be fine. And then, of course, they eat all kinds of vitamins to make sure that they live a little longer. It's not wrong. A friend of mine says that he was told that if he would run every day, he would add 15 years to his life. And so he ran for 3 weeks and says, it's absolutely right. He said, after 3 weeks, I feel 15 years older already. Just doing that. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope that you tune in next time as we continue running to win, because we have to understand this parable that Jesus Christ told, and we just barely got into it this time. Jesus here was making a tremendously important point. Isn't it a great tragedy to think of all of the people who spend so much time taking care of their bodies and yet neglect their souls? So I'm asking you today, how is your soul? Are you forgiven? Are you at rest? Do you have peace? Are you going through a time when your conscience is troubling you because you have some issue that you don't want to resolve? And most importantly, have you given your soul to Jesus? Have you received his forgiveness and his grace? Because remember, we are eternal beings, and the man that Jesus was speaking about forgot that. He thought that his body was all that he had, but he had an eternal soul. Stay tuned, because in a moment we'll be giving you some information as to how these messages can be yours so that you can play them again and again, share them with your friends. God bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful day, all day.
Erwin Lutzer with Getting Eternity Right, the last in a 10-part series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time on Running to Win, tune in for more on what really matters. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.